You are Locked On Fantasy, your daily fantasy football podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Vinny Iyer. When I'm not doing this, I'm writing about NFL and fantasy football for SportingNews.com. Come to the site now. We have the updated power rankings here after NFL free agency and the draft, and a look at the Raiders and their depth chart to offensively and defensively going into the bulk of the 2019 offseason. So check those stories out. And on Locked On Fantasy Football, previously this week we've been doing a series looking at the updated expert consensus rankings across the four major fantasy football positions. So check out the shows we did this week on quarterbacks, running backs, wide receivers, and we're up to tight ends to see how that position shapes up. A tough position from last year, where a lot of things were in flux, a lot of things we expected did not happen. If you didn't have Travis Kelce or Zach Ertz or George Kittle, you really struggled at that position, trying to piece together that production, maybe find a few sleepers that sometimes were boom or bust, like Eric Ebron and Jared Cook, two veterans there. New situations that helped themselves and produced enough in fantasy. Well, bit of a changing of the guard. We know this is a post-Rob Gronkowski world here. Last time we looked at the rankings, we weren't sure if Gronk was going to come back for the Patriots, and now we know that for sure is not going to happen. So changes the landscape, the way we look at fantasy tight ends, and a lot of different things going on to affect the value of tight ends, either things around them or things that have happened to them, and trying to figure that value out is going to be one of the most important things in fantasy football, as we still have this as one of the most vital positions. If you can get good production out of it, we know that's a big game changer for your roster. And if you act it like a wide receiver two or even a wide receiver one in production, it's going to go a long way in helping your team destroy, and the consistency as well is what you're looking for there. So let's dive right into the tight end rankings. It will go a little deeper here because it's a tougher position again to navigate, and there's a lot of sleepers as well that we should talk about. So let's start with the top tier. I mentioned all three of them. Now, how you break this down in either form, I think if you go Travis Kelce, George Kittle, Zach Ertz, those are the top three there at Fantasy Pros right now, making up the first tier. They're really tier one and tier two. So that tells you right away that these are the guys that you're going to target as much as possible to get in on your teams, because you know they're the known quantities of production. I mean, Travis Kelce, he did lose his backup there in Demetrius Harris, and we know that the Tyreek Hill situation is causing a little bit of problems, but that also can mean teams focus on taking Travis Kelce out of the game, where George Kittle got some help in the offseason. Dante Pettis came on as a potential number one down the stretch, and they also added Deebo Samuel there in San Francisco to potentially play the slot, upgrade that. So I still think George Kittle, when you look at it between Pettis and Marquise Goodwin and Samuel versus Kelce versus now looking at Sammy Watkins, remember Chris Conley's out there, that's the old adage. Do you go for the guy that has little around him and has to be the go-to guy? Yes, the volume we know is going to stay there with Kelce. He is playing with Patrick Mahomes, but on the George Kittle side, he produced with C.J. Beathard and Nick Mullins last year. Now he gets Jimmy Garoppolo, and this offense might actually see its full potential. I don't think the targets are necessarily going to decrease. He's such a vital part of that offense. So George Kittle and Travis Kelce, it's pretty close. I think Zach Ertz a little bit down here just because they have DeSean Jackson. He's going to take a few targets away. They have J.J. Arcega-Whiteside as well, the rookie, and Dallas Goedert, the second tight end that could play a bigger factor here and cut into the production, where you look at Travis Kelce, not much there. And Kittle has an aging Garrett Celek behind him there, and they did draft a tight end, the 49ers. But overall, when you look at it, Kelce and Kittle, I think that's where you go for one or two. I think you can go either way. I think in PPR, you might go Kittle, Kelce, He's the bigger play type receiver, so that helps him. But again, pretty close with these two guys. Kelce, I think people feel comfortable because they know he's battled for the top spot before. But Kittle, look at him at the second half of last season. I'm more of in the Kittle camp over the Kelce camp, if you say that five times fast. But overall, that's how I look at it. These three are definitely separated because you know what you're going to get. There's no mystery over their production here in terms of what you know in the past and what you know now and in 2019. Where it gets really interesting is the third tier, if you will, which is really the second tier when you look at fantasy tight ends. O.J. Howard is up there at number four, and this one's kind of intriguing. His highest ranking is one, so someone thinks he can be that good despite Bruce Arians' history with the tight end, not using it as much in the offense. And you look at his worst ranking is number eight, so this is where O.J. Howard makes sense, that he's at number four in the middle. But people are really high on him. I think there's an indication that Arians is going to adjust his offense a little bit and use him because they need him, because they don't have Adam Humphries or DeSean Jackson. So you look at the third target, Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, and then it trickles down to O.J. Howard. So I think they're going to make an exception because he's such a special player. That's not probably good news for Cameron Brate to work in the mix as much. But how does somebody look at it? It's just hard to tell because a lot of the changes, and knowing that Arians, we had that kind of offense in Arizona last year with Byron Leftwich, the same coordinator in Tampa. It didn't quite work out for Ricky Seals-Jones. And then in Cleveland, kind of a similar type of offense stemming from Arians and Freddie Kitchens. Not something that worked out well for David Njoku this season, last season. So when you look at overall, I think Howard is a bit risky at number four, and I kind of disagree with that just because of everything we know, the variables that go into that pick. I think Hunter Henry, I think there should be less doubt about him. I mean, we were looking at him as potentially jumping into that Mount Rushmore of fantasy football tight ends last year, but now fully healthy. They were trying to get him back on the field at the end of last season. Didn't quite work out, but Antonio Gates is gone. He's going to step in. So is Tyrell Williams, which is notable here because that's some vacated targets there, especially looking at Keenan Allen and Mike Williams. I think Hunter Henry is the third target there for sure overall. So when you consider all that, I think that's good news for Henry's value. And we know Philip Rivers likes him. We know that we were all ready to go all in on him last year. So Henry over Howard sounds a lot better at that fourth coveted tight end spot here in fantasy football. Now, we go from the H's to the double E's, and Evan Engram and Eric Ebron, number six and number seven on the rankings. I think Eric Ebron, the trouble with him is he was so touchdown dependent last year, and there was that game where he totally disappeared. He had a couple monster games with multiple touchdowns, and then he had one game where he didn't catch the ball or was targeted a very few times, and Jack Doyle cut into his production a little bit when he was healthy. Jack Doyle's on track to be healthy to begin the season. You've got Devin Funchess, another catch radius guy in Indianapolis that could steal from Andrew Luck, and it's just too touchdown dependent there. While Evan Engram, you look at this situation, he's the third target, kind of like Hunter Henry behind Sterling Shepard and Golden Tate there. So Engram, whether it's Eli Manning or you look at Daniel Jones potentially starting some games maybe as early as October in the second half of the season, you know there are going to be some leaning on the tight end there. So Evan Engram has a better, I think, floor to me, while Eric Ebron is more boom or bust. Now, I think eight or nine is an interesting debate to have. Two veterans there, one an older veteran, Jared Cook going to the Saints, and David Njoku staying in place with the Browns. Now has a few years under his belt. Freddie Kitchens' offense, year two here, but again, we didn't see as much use of Njoku, and now we'd have Odell Beckham Jr. in the mix. That kind of trickles down to Rashad Higgins and Antonio Callaway as the third and fourth target. So when you look at that in relation to Jared Cook, you have Michael Thomas, then you kind of have an even split of the targets after Alvin Kamara at wide receiver there, specifically between Tre'Quan Smith and Ted Ginn Jr. and Keith Kirkwood working out in the slot. So Jared Cook could have a big value here, especially working the red zone, and the touchdown potential there for the Saints has got to be pretty high. So when you look at that, I feel a little bit more comfortable at Cook, I think even ahead of Ebron at this point, given the touchdown potential is the same and the integral part of the offense he has for Drew Brees there, as we know that in that position, Jimmy Graham has had some big fantasy years, and Cook is coming off his own personal big fantasy year, one of the more pleasant surprises there of the 2018 season. So I think of these guys, I feel good about Henry and Ingram just because of where they stand in the pecking order. And then I think I go Cook. I think O.J. Howard is just tough for me to rank. I just don't completely trust that. So if in that case, I would put him more with a David Njoku, similar offenses and similar question marks there at tight end. We'll get into the rest of the tight end one potential guys and into the tight end twos in a bit. But first, I've got to tell you that NFL teams are always looking to hire new people, and it's tough to find the right guys, candidates, to be the best players for them. Well, hiring in the real world used to be hard. Multiple job sites, stacks of resumes, a confusing review process. But today, hiring can be easy, and you only have to go to one place to get it done, ZipRecruiter.com/lockedon. With ZipRecruiter, they send your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards, but they don't stop there. With their powerful matching technology, ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right experience, invite them to apply to your job. And as those applications come in, ZipRecruiter analyzes each one and spotlights the top candidates so you never miss a great match. ZipRecruiter is so effective that 80%, that's right, 80% of employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the very first day. And it even gets better than that for you as a listener to Locked On Fantasy Football. You can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/LockedOn. That's ZipRecruiter.com/LockedOn. ZipRecruiter.com/LockedOn. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire, and we thank them for sponsoring Locked On Fantasy Football. We'll be right back here to look at the rest of the tight end ones and start talking more about the sleepers at the position in fantasy football for 2019. All right, let's finish up the starters, so to speak, and this one is going to have a lot of debate because we have them all at tier four. So we'll actually go to number 17 here. That's how it looks on the Fantasy Football Expert Consensus Rankings, experts called together by Fantasy Pros. And that's what we're looking at as our baseline to figure out ADPs, where guys might go, where they might be headed to be ranked in August. We have to look at that in May, and that's what we're doing now, this exercise across positions. When you look at the tight ends here, number 10, Delanie Walker, coming off a major injury there. You still have Jonu Smith hanging around there. I just don't see Jonu Smith being a big part. And also, keep in mind, Delanie Walker, I'm going to dump down the rankings because you have now Adam Humphries and A.J. Brown, two legitimate receiving targets after your clear number one there, Corey Davis. And Marcus Mariota, while Walker was hurt, built some chemistry with Davis. You guys also have Deion Lewis out of the backfield catching a few passes behind Derrick Henry. Henry even caught a few passes. So Walker, I'm going to bump down. Don't like him at 10. That's why some people have him in the top 10, number 9, but the lowest is 33, and I side with more of the people that have him on the lower end for sure. And I totally buy into that based on the way the offense has changed with the Titans. Now, Chris Herndon is a guy that I feel really good about because I know they upgrade a little bit, added Jameson Crowder in the slot for Sam Darnold, but you have Robbie Anderson and Quincy Enunwa as your top receivers there. So when you look at that, Crowder in the slot, there's a good rapport established with him and Sam Darnold from last year. They really want to get this kid going. And you look at his deviation, some people have him at 9. His lowest he has is 19. So in this tier, he's the lowest guy. And that is a good indicator as well when you look at this, is that people are hoping that Herndon can do something here. They got Le'Veon Bell, so that obviously is going to cut a little bit in the passing game, but it's also going to open things up for Herndon as they get the red zone play action for Darnold and all that. So there's a good touchdown potential in Herndon, just a good athlete and talent. Remember, is the number one thing we're looking for in fantasy football, and Herndon certainly has that for the Jets. And I think with Adam Gase coming in there, I think he's a guy that's going to maximize Herndon's athleticism as a key target for Sam Darnold. The next tight end that we look at number 12 here, is similar kind of rankings there, as high as number 7, Austin Hooper, as low as number 20 there, number 12. So he would be the last tight end one, so to speak, in a 12-team standard league. And Hooper, again, we've gotten excited about Hooper in the past. It just hasn't quite worked out. He has one or two okay games, and we're okay with it, but it's just not the kind of a tight end one upside we're looking for. So Hooper, proceed with caution there. Same thing with Trey Burton at number 13. Again, we thought there were some big things. Looked good for him early coming over. Maybe he'll do a little bit more, but they did add more receiving help and more receiving help out of the backfield as well. So Trey Burton I'm cooling off on as well. Vance McDonald definitely is interesting because there's no more Jesse James in Pittsburgh. There's also no more Antonio Brown. So when you look at that, I think when you look at Herndon and his upside, McDonald certainly has that now. Some people have him high as number 6, and we know he's a very talented athletic receiver, and Ben Roethlisberger is going to have more trust in him. He's now totally settled in to the team after a full season there. So there's that to consider. Vacated targets alone there with Brown leaving, and someone's got to make that up, and James as well. So when you look at the vacated targets and potential there, I think we have to bump up McDonald, sure. And I think he's in that conversation with Herndon as the two of the more appealing starting caliber guys in the tight end one range here in fantasy football for 2019. And then Jack Doyle comes in at number 15. Hard to read, especially with splitting time with Eric Ebron. He was more effective than Ebron at times last year when they were both on the field. But again, the Colts added that receiver. Devin Funch has also added a rookie there in Paris Campbell. Some targets changing hands a little bit because they also moved on from Ryan Grant and Dontrell Inman. So we'll have to see how those targets play out. Andrew Luck has got good protection now, so it's not always going to be about dumping off to Jack Doyle. But I think Doyle and Ebron are more closer in ranking, and I think it makes a little bit of sense to put them below the tight end one status, so maybe borderline tight end one at this point, given the split at that position for the Colts. At 16, we have Greg Olsen, and Greg Olsen looks like is finally his final year. Well, we thought of that about Jason Witten as well, and that didn't pan out there. So when you look at overall that Greg Olsen has that value, but there's also Ian Thomas there that we know has some upside in this offense, so the torch could be passed here, so to speak. We thought it could be done that a little bit more, but the durability issues were also in play for Olsen, so he's a guy that not particularly attractive there in fantasy. Jordan Reed, number 17, rounding out this tier 4, another guy with a bunch of injuries. Redskins didn't really look to upgrade there from Reed, so he's still kind of the default guy, but you have a big quarterback change with Case Keenum or Dwayne Haskins. If it's Haskins, you feel a little bit better about Jordan Reed, just having the security blanket sense of the tight end for the rookie quarterback. So all things to consider there in this tier, but yeah, when you look at it, clearly I get the highlighter and look at Chris Herndon and Vance McDonald in this tier 4. There's the guys who can creep up into that tier 3 and be solid tight end ones for you as it stands now in May, and what we know about these offenses and the potential production of these tight ends. We'll look at the rest of the notables at tight end here in a moment, but first I got to say it's easy to listen to Locked On podcasts wherever you're going because we're so easy to listen to the car. We're bite-sized, perfect for your listening pleasure, informative and analytical for your needs here in all kind of sports, whatever you're into, whatever your favorite sport is, whatever you're looking for, reality or fantasy. We've got you covered year-round, and in the car, you go from point A to point B. You want to learn and be the smartest sports fan out there. Well, Locked On Fantasy Football is going to help you with that year-round. Simple with your smart speaker, just say play Locked On whatever show, Locked On Fantasy Football. We're pleased you listen anywhere, but in the car, we're made for your listening pleasure there especially. We'll be right back here to wrap up our look at the consensus expert tight end rankings here in May on Locked On Fantasy Football. All right, let's look at the rest of the tight ends, and these are the fading guys, and this is how you debate, do you go with the faders or do you go with the high upside guys? I tend to be an upside person. With Kyle Rudolph, again, I'm going upside there because Rudolph is wearing down a little bit, getting older. I look at Irv Smith Jr., pushing him a little bit, so Rudolph's not a guy I'm particularly interested in. Jimmy Graham is probably going to be pushed by Jace Sternberger as we look at the number 19 guy. So I don't know. There's too many mouths to feed there. Both situations. Rudolph didn't very much click with Kirk Cousins last year. Graham had his moments, but not enough with Aaron Rodgers there. Now, TJ Hawkinson, I like that pick a lot. He's going to be the number one tight end in Detroit. I think Danny Amendola is not a suitable number three option there to pick up what Golden Tate produced. So when you look at that, behind Marvin Jones and Kenny Galladay, Hawkinson could have a very big role. Noah Fant, we'll have to see what happens with him. The Broncos do have multiple tight ends there that they can look at, but if they can get the first rounder on the field, the other guy from Iowa, that makes a lot of sense to look at him more and more as a target. Just hard to read with these new quarterback situations where is it Joe Flacco or Drew Locke going to be there with Noah Fant, and how is that going to affect him? All, you know, Matthew Stafford is going to get locked into Hawkinson a lot easier there. Mike Gesicki, it's interesting that he's number 22. Some people have as high as 13, so not quite tight end one material, but tight end two high end. I don't know if I feel that with the new coaching staff. I know you have the Patriots brain trust who got the most out of Rob Gronkowski, but I just don't see Gesicki right now. He's a very special receiver, but incorporating him in this offense, when they do need guys to throw to, and you have a quarterback shift there with Ryan Fitzpatrick and Josh Rosen. Just too many unknowns in how the Dolphins' offense is going. It's a team, in general, I want to avoid in fantasy football. Dallas Goedert, he had his moments there behind Zach Ertz, but still more backup material. Now, Mark Andrews is interesting. Do you go Mark Andrews at number 24, or a little bit down the list, his teammate Hayden Hurst, both second-year tight ends for the Ravens? It's tough because now there's more guys to consider getting the ball. Mark Ingram out of the backfield, Justice Hill out of the backfield. You've got Marquise Brown at wide receiver, Miles Boykin at wide receiver. So a lot of different kind of threats, but Mark Andrews has the most familiarity with Lamar Jackson. They seem to click a little bit well with Hayden Hurst hurt there for much of last year. He was the better rookie. He's the more of the move tight end. There's going to be a special role for him. So Andrews is a guy that definitely bumping up here. And again, upside is what you're looking for as much as possible with these later tight ends. Austin Seferian Jenkins, the only reason he's here is he's with the Patriots, but that's at number 25. We know that he's disappointed in the past. He seems good fit for the Patriots offense, but Matt Lacoste is still there. They signed him from the Broncos, looking at bringing Benjamin Watson out of retirement. So this could be a messy tight end by committee approach. And the drafting of N'Keal Harry says there's going to be a shift there where they might get their vacated targets in production more from wide receivers led by Harry. Then you have Gerald Everett popping at 26. I think this is just a random ranking for Gerald Everett because you look overall, like, it's pretty even between him and Tyler Higbee and their usage. And also, clearly fourth best in the pecking order behind the three wide receivers there. So, not much there. I don't like tight ends that are so far buried as options on their team. And Everett is one of those, and he's also splitting with Higbee. Tyler Eifert could definitely rebound with the coaching of Zach Taylor. But, again, hard to know. A guy that just didn't say healthy. Cameron Braid at number 28, not feeling at all because of the presence. Howard, we mentioned Hayden Hurst at 29. Ian Thomas at 30, then you have Ricky Seals-Jones at 31. We'll see him kind of fade, I think, with Cliff Kingsbury. Jason Witten, they got Amari Cooper, Michael Gallup, and Randall Cobb. I don't know how much they're going to work in Jason Witten. Nick Vanett is listed as the top Seahawks tight end. I don't think that's even right where you would have Will Disley, if he can come back healthy, is the guy they're truly looking at there. And then Jake Butt rounding it out at number 34. Other than that, you're just not reaching too far for tight ends. I think you want to maybe try to get one early or have some of those upside sleepers a little later in your draft, and that's kind of the strategy that's coming into play here for tight ends in 2019. It's a post-Gronk world. We're all living in it, trying to navigate through it and find the best production. And I think you have that clear-cut number three, and then it's sorting things out, and we'll have a lot more clarity as we get through training camp in the preseason in terms of roles and what we expect projection-wise from the best young tight ends in the league. Thanks again for listening to Locked On Fantasy Football. It's been a great week breaking down quarterback, running back, wide receiver, and tight end rankings. Check us out next week where we'll dive into a whole new aspect of fantasy football to keep you going throughout the NFL offseason. For Locked On Fantasy Football, this has been Vinny Iyer. We'll see you next time.